The Torah content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions.
Okay, so let's review what we did yesterday, and I found a couple things. So this is Matan's name, Yod Gimel. Kol ha'malim ina min tzedakah, hari zeh nikra belial. Anyone who hides his eyes from tzedakah is called lawless. So we need to come up with another word. So there's lawless. Someone texted me and suggested anarchic. I think anarchic has a different connotation of like, yeah, like that's like anti-law, right? Yeah, which might fit under Belial in certain cases, but then there's Belial, and then there's the Ibn Ezra one, which is that he will not ascend. Because can we think of an English word that captures the fact that like this guy is like destined for not success?
Hellbound.
That's that's a good one. Okay, I mean it's a little bit religious in its connotations as opposed to just not like being successful, you know.
Successful?
Low life. I feel like in English we use that more for like someone with bad mitos, you know. But low life is closer to it. It is bad mito, right? Right, but it doesn't capture the thing of like this Ibn Ezra. Shelo ya'ale v'shelo yigayo v'shelo yichya. He will not ascend, he will not be redeemed, and he will not live. If there's a word, irredeemable is for, yeah, whatever. Okay, fine. Kamoshin emar shnikra ba'ovid avodazara belial, just as it says by the ovid avodazara belial, ba'avodazara hu omer yatsu anashim b'nei belial, v'malim ina minet staka hu omer hisham l'cha pen yihia davar im levavcha belial. I don't know if I made this clear yesterday, but I don't know if I said that these are the only two places in Chumash where the word Belial is used. Like, this is not just a stam. You know, like, so many Gezeirah Shavas are just like, the word is used a lot of times and they choose it here. This is like the only time where the term is used. Okay, fine. So that's one thing is he's lawless. Two is V'nikra Rasha. He's called a Rasha. This is a guy who hides from giving tzedakah. Shnemar V'rachmi Rashaim Achzari. The mercies of the wicked are cruel. V'nikra Chote, and he's called a sinner. Shnemar V'kara Alach Al Hashem V'haya V'chachet. It says he will call to Hashem, and I mean the poor person will call to Hashem V'haya B'chachet, and there will be a sin in you. So our questions were, what are these three condemnations of the guy who hides from tzedakah? That he is called lawless like an Ovid of Odazara. He's called a Rasha, and he's called a Chote. So we theorized yesterday a bunch of things about the similarities with the Avodah Zarah. So I found one thing that might support, several of our approaches, but I kind of forgot who said what, so it doesn't really matter. So I looked at my trusty friend, the Torah Tmima, okay, and he quotes our drasha. He says, "Im levav gablial," this is in Torah Tmima on Devarim 15, 9, Uksiv Hasam Yasa Nashim Bnei Belial Malahalan Avodas Kochavim Afkan Avodas Kochavim Mikan Amar Rabbi Yeshua Ben Karcha Kol Amalim In Malim Einav Minat Tzedakah Kil Ovid Avodah Zarah. Anyone who hides his eyes from tzedakah, it's as if he worships Avodah Zarah. Got to zoom in on the footnote here, okay? And just a quick review about how the Torah Tmima works is he brings down Chazals. Usually halachic chazals, but chazals on the psukim, and then the footnotes is him explaining it. And usually he doesn't always give idea explanations, but he tries to explain what the basis of the diok is. But then sometimes you get an idea from him. So here's a place where you get an idea. Ein masha kasav ti ba'os hakodem de pasuk ze kol el gam tzedak alaniim. Okay, so you should see what I wrote in the previous letter, that this pasuk also is talking about tzedakah. Because what was the, you remember what the pasuk was actually about? It was about, where are we? Lending in the Shemitah year, right? I think the guy who, the Shemitah year is coming and he doesn't want to lend. Right. So you might think that only applies to someone who doesn't want to lend in the Shemitah year, but he's saying it applies to someone who doesn't give tzedakah. So now what's the similarity to Avodah Zarah? V'inyan ha'hiz damus zeh la'avodas kochavim hu mipnei ki inyan kol ha'tzedakos shebatorah kmo leket shichacha upeya v'chadome hu leida shekol ma shiyesh la'adam eino shelo. So one of us said this yesterday. Yeah, you, okay. So the idea of all the tzedakos in the Torah, like leket peya shichacha, etc., is to know that everything that the person has does not belong to him, the Hechle, absolutely. V'rak ba'im be'ezer v'siyua me'akadosh baruch hu. It only comes to him through God. U'l'os al emunazo, and as a sign for this belief, mafrishin tzedakos shonos, then we apportion out different tzedakos. Aval zeh shemalim einav min hatzedakah, but this guy who hides his eyes from tzedakah, havi kamo shekofir b'hashgachas Hashem, v'si'uo, it's as if he's denying hashgachas Hashem and his assistance, but omer shekocho v'otem yado osa lo tovo umamono. And it's, he's saying my strength, his strength and the strength of his hand made for him this money. And he's like an Ovid Kochavin. Yeah. So he's putting it in terms. So can we just get an idea out of this? Because I think there's multiple directions we could go here. So just to reiterate, he's saying that the premise of all tzedakah is that this money doesn't belong to you. It's coming to you from God. And therefore, if you withhold it, it's as if you are taking credit for it. And that's, I gave the analogy, the first time this happens in the Torah is when Cain gives a korban, but he withholds the best produce and gives the inferior one, which kind of betrays the notion that he is acknowledging that, like, God has some role in this, but he's saying, like, really, I'm entitled to this, you know, is it because I made it, you know? So how exactly is this a denial of hashgacha? What was it? Of the not giving tzedakah.
Is it denial?
So he used the word denial. That's what I want to understand. Like, is it, how is this a denial?
Well, I just understand, like, you know, like not following all the people.
Go on.
So,
right.
And that,
Okay, so one route to take, I think that is definitely a viable route. One route to take is that you're not relying on God's hashgacha vis-a-vis you, right? And I think it's because none of us in this room are in dire poverty, I think it's easy for us to to not think about what it's like to give tzedakah when you are like earning the minimal amount to survive. It takes an act of emunah to do the mitzvah and trust that you'll be provided for in the same way as, like, again, I don't know, I don't think any of us are in this position or our parents are in this position, but some of our grandparents or great-grandparents were like, you know, to not work on Shabbos was like you might starve that week, you know. So, and certainly with the Shemitah, we can understand that, you know. So that's like one approach. I think that's good. Yeah.
I was thinking along, I think this might be on similar lines.
Yeah.
But like the fact that, specifically on the Hashgacha part, the fact that, to my knowledge, is like a specific Hashgacha that's like a specific, whatever it's called. Oh, I don't know what it's called. What's it called? Like a promise. But like a
net
promise.
Havtacha?
Yeah.
Havtacha?
I don't know how to call it Havtacha, yeah. Or like just a Hashgacha kind, yeah, of thing, that like giving tzedakah is not going to make you poor.
Right.
So like by saying I need this money for myself because I need to pay my bills.
Right, that's
money,
denying that.
That's denying that.
Hashgacha. Yeah, yeah, correct. Okay, good. So that's one approach. I think I can think of two more. Well, one I kind of already said, which is denying God's role in you getting the money, right? In other words, initially, in other words, that's like with the kind thing where really, or the example I gave yesterday of like, you know, instead of viewing it as though I get $1,000 and then God's forcing me to give, $100 away, really should view it as though God is giving you the $1,000 and saying you can keep a certain amount, but you're my shliach to give it to someone else, you know? So like, that's, I think, closer to the invocation of kochiv otem yadi, of like taking credit for it, you know? And instead of taking credit for it, you realize it comes from Hashem. The third approach, which I don't know, I don't know if this is what he's saying, but I think it's still an idea, is that when we talk about God being being oseh chesed mishpat and tzedakah, yeah, you want to say?
I mean, I'm not sure I'm going on the same line, sure. But I was also thinking that if we talk about God, like, providing for and, like, loving the poor. Right?
Yeah.
So the method that he has for that is that we take from our money, yeah, that he gave us and, yeah, we give to them.
Exactly.
So by saying, I'm not going to do that, it's basically saying, God, I'm not going to fulfill you being a chesed.
Exactly. So it's like a denial of God's hashgacha in actuality, like you are literally blocking God's Hashgacha, because God's Hashgacha is giving Torah to the Jews and commanding them in mitzvah tzedakah in order to take care of the aniyim. That's how God takes care of the aniyim, you know? So like, you're like, it's almost worse than being kofir in tzedakah, like intellectually, you're actually like blocking the tzedakah, the poseach tzedakah, you know? Yeah, that's like, and again, I don't think that's what he's saying, but I think it does fit in with the overall approach. Yeah. So that's, so yeah. All right. So those are three ideas. I'm satisfied with that. And then I think what we said yesterday is good, that this happens to correspond to, you know, the Avodah Zarah comparison corresponds to like a Bein Adam L'Makom dimension. Calling the person a Rasha and saying he's cruel is talking about Midos, and that's been a Bein Adam L'Atzmo type thing. And then calling him a Choteh, and the Pasuk saying that when you harm this guy, then this guy will cry out to God, is talking about Bein Adam L'Chaver, that you're harming this other person. So I think that fits in nicely. Okay, let's move on. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Karov L'Shav'as Aniyim. Okay, God is close to the outcry of Aniyim. Okay, meaning the Makbili says Shavas is Tzakas HaKriya La'azara. That's what Shavah means. We had this earlier in Shemos in the second parak, when the Vatal Shavasam El Ha'akim Min Ha'avoda, that they're outcried. It's a weird word. It's not not so common. Shenemar, as it says, Shavas Aniyim Ata Tishma. As it says, the outcry of the aniyim you listen to. So I actually encountered this first on the Sheilat Rambam, and I was shocked because it says, I'm at the wrong place. Nope, I'm not at the wrong place. Oh yeah, Shavas aniyim ata tishma, and it didn't have a quotation of the pasuk, and he says, this is not actually a pasuk. Elohu mishpat mi birkas nishmas lufi nusach svarad. It's an excerpt from the brach of nishmas, according to the svarad of nusach. Shekishenira haya shagur al pi rabbeinu, that was, you know, fluent in the Rambam's mouth. Of al b'seder hatfilos shebesof sefer ava hishmito. But he doesn't have this in his seder tfilos. Yeah, this line, I mean, he has nishmas. Right. Biglal hachraaso hahalachtis she'en omrim shum tachanunim b'shabbos. Interesting. Based on the Rambam's decision to not have tachanunim on Shabbos. It's not really a tachanunim, is it? I would say it's a praise, right? Unless, maybe we're not reading the first part of it. We have to look at the Sephardic Siddur, but, because, right, just this phrase, shavas anim atatishma, is a praise, right? Not asking for anything. But then he quotes Shaz Shuvas Rabbeinu Reish Ches, which maybe we can look at. Okay, fine. Let's go back. Lefikach, therefore, tzarech lihizahir mitza'akasam. You need to be careful from their outcry. I don't know if that means careful to not make them cry out or careful to respond to their outcry. Shahari bris krusalem, there's a covenant sealed with them. Shnemar says, v'haya ki yitzak elai v'shamati ki chanunani. It says in Shemos that when the poor person cries out to me, I will hear because I am gracious. Let's just see that in context. Again, 22, Shemos, 22, let's make those a little bit smaller. What did it say? 22, 26. Context is im kesef talve es ami. Es ani imach lo tie lo kinoshe lo tesimun alach neshe alav neshech. So you shouldn't. Hold on just a second here. I just want to see if Nima's translation is complete yet. Yeah, here we go. If you loan money to my people, to the poor who is among you, you shall not be for him a creditor, and you shall not take from him interest. Im chabol tachbol salmas re'acha ad bo shemesh tishivenu lo. If you will take the garment of your fellow as a security, by sunset you should return it to him. Ki kisuso levada, ki simlaso le'oro, b'mei yishka, v'haya ki yitzak elai v'shamat ki chanun ani. For it is his only covering, if it is his garment for his skin, with what shall he lie? And if he cries out to me, I will listen, for I am gracious. Right. So the question, so are we reading, what was that?
Oh, no.
Yeah, you mean be careful, mitzah akasim. Yeah. It sounds from the pasuk that you should be careful to not do actions that cause them to cry out, right? So I think the question is going to have to be here: what's this idea of a bris krusa with the aniyim? And I just want to, for the sake of, I don't think we're going to work on this today, but I just want to see. I feel like we've seen this with the last year Bris Crusoe with anyone who learns at night, I think. Or there's something in Talmud Torah about this. I just want to see where the Rambam uses Bris Crusoe. I don't think he uses it a ton, and that's what that, and maybe we'll get some insight into that from here. Hold on just one second here. Zoom in. Why is this not clicking? Why is this frozen? Rambam. Okay. Yeah, it does not look like that many of them. Okay, so we got Talmud Torah. Oh, I was wrong. Bris Crusoe Shekol HaYagia B'Torosu B'Veis HaKnesses Lo B'Mhera Hu Mishakeach. A covenant is sealed with anyone who exerts himself in Torah in the Beis HaKnesses. I think we analyze why in the Beis HaKnesses, not the Beis Midrash, right? And then he will not quickly forget. And then we have in Matanos Neim, we have Ar Halakha. And then we have in Bikurim, no, that's a different Bris Crusoe. And that's a different, oh, so these are the only two. The only two. So we got a Bris Crusoe with learning in shul that you won't forget, and a Bris Crusoe with the Aniyim that God will respond to their tefillah. Yeah.
Is there a very new halacha, I guess, the last halacha?
Yeah, good question. Right. It sounds more like an azhara about how to treat the poor than a new halachic nafkamina, which we're going to see. I mean, we've already seen in this parak that a lot of this parak seems to be like about how to relate to the halachos that were previously stated rather than new nafkaminas. I guess you could say that there's nafkamina here about, like, let's say another like this. If you do something that makes a poor person cry out, that's not necessarily a violation of like the aseh or the los aseh of giving tzedakah or withholding tzedakah, but yet it's relevant to how you treat aniyim and it belongs in this parak. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's think about that for tomorrow and try to crack that nut. Is that the mushel? Crack the nut? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, not related. Okay, so I'll stop this in. What was it? Shell, yes, the shell.
If you've gained from what you've learned here today, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/RabbiSchneeWeiss. Alternatively, if you would like to make a direct contribution to the Rabbi Schneeweiss Torah Content Fund, my Venmo is @Matt-Schneeweiss, and my Zelle/Chase QuickPay and PayPal are MattSchneeweiss@gmail.com. Even a small contribution goes a long way to covering the cost of my podcast and will provide me with the financial freedom to produce even more Torah content for you. If you would like to sponsor an article, shiur, or podcast episode, or if you are interested in enlisting my services as a teacher or tutor, you can reach me at RabbiSchneeweiss@gmail.com. Thank you to my listeners for listening. Thank you to my readers for reading, and thank you to my supporters for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.